Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, joining us right now from the Philly Voice does an excellent job, and it's been an eventful week for sure, but does an excellent job covering the Philadelphia Eagles. Would be Jimmy Kempski. Jim, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Yeah, thanks. My apologies for the technical difficulties there.
Yes, no problem, man. I appreciate it. Jim, so obviously, you know, we all know you in the city, and you're a well-respected scribe, but you went national this week. You went big time, man. let me play the scenario for you, because I thought your reaction afterwards was a very interesting one, and I want to get kind of where you are having a few days to marinate on this, but I'm going to play the back and forth that you had with Doug Peterson earlier this week. Here you go. We got the gist of it. I got the gist of it. So, all right.
Yeah.
So Jim, here's the thing.
yeah.
I will give you props. Like, a lot of guys would have been angry, whatever. Your reaction afterwards was like, look, I get it. It happens. I'm not even mad at Doug. So how do you feel a few days later, not to put words in your mouth, but how do you feel a few days later after hearing that?
Yeah. I kind of feel like his message there was more like, it's hard to play quarterback in the NFL, more than it was, you're an idiot media guy who doesn't know what he's looking at. You know, like, that's just kind of how, like, I saw that. Certainly you and I and any, you know, football fan can look at the difference between certain throws that a quarterback makes during the course of the game, and they can identify which ones are tougher throws, and they can identify which ones are easier throws.
Right.
And a lot of the throws that Carson Wentz is missing are unquestionably on the easier side, at least as it pertains to NFL throws. Like, if I were to be put on the field and, you know, tasked with making a quote-unquote layup throw, you know, maybe I don't make that throw.
Right.
But certainly an NFL quarterback, good, bad, you know, indifferent, should make some of the throws that Wentz is missing.
I think layup triggered him. Like, in hindsight, would you choose a different word in that scenario?
No. I'm totally fine with the word I use there, because some of them are layups.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes basketball players miss layups, and sometimes quarterbacks miss easy throws.
So, Jim, tell me if I'm
in an apt comparison.
Tell me if I'm misreading this. I think, too, part of it is you have to understand the backdrop, right? So he's coming off of an appearance with Angelo, and then, you know, his press conference on later on Monday, where he sort of gave you that when someone asked him similar and maybe different wording, and he would say, yeah, why is Carson missing those throws? It's a good question. That leads you to believe,
right?
I hear you, man. He should be making those throws. Do you think it was also his way of kind of having his guys back, sort of, to an extent?
Yeah, I think he's defending his quarterback, of course. Mm-hmm. And the question, you know, went like this. At the time during that press conference that I asked it, like, it was like the, you know, second or third last question they was getting.
Yeah.
So he's already like 12 minutes deep into like a bunch of hard questions that already came his way after an 0-2 start, of course. So, you know, he was a little he was a little grumpy, I think, for sure. And I think he'd had enough by then. But yeah, I mean, yeah, your point is right. Like, you know, Angelo or whoever gets him early in the day, and he's you know, a little fresher, not so worn down by the criticism by then, and yeah, I think it was just a matter of we all have. I don't want to say it's a bad day for him, but like, we all get aggravated at times, and I think that's just all. His team is 0-2.
Yeah.
They're playing like crap. The quarterback isn't playing well. The defense didn't play well. It's understandable that he's a little cranky.
Well, let's forget the question itself, and let's go specifically into Carson and what's happening here, because it's ugly. I mean, there's no other way to put it, Jim. And I've been a big believer in him. I'm not giving up on him. I still think that Carson Wentz, there's a lot in there, and we've seen flashes of it, but there hasn't been nearly consistent enough. But this is different. This is really real bad. I mean, decision making awful, execution awful, passer rating awful. What's happening here? How did we get to this point against? I understand the Washington game. You could kind of chalk it up to it was a mess, the line, etc. He was equally bad last week too.
For sure, I thought he was worse week two than he was week one. Week one, you could at least, make a little bit of an excuse for him in that their offensive line didn't play as well, or, maybe more accurately, they played against a defensive line that was awesome. Like the Washington team, they come at you a different way than the Rams do. Like, Washington has like seven guys that can get to the quarterback. So they're really deep in addition to being really talented. Week two, you have Aaron Donald, of course, who probably the best defensive player in the NFL, but you can kind of, if you can focus on taking him away and you're successful at doing that, then their other guys really aren't going to hurt you. And I think the Eagles did a great job actually on, negating Aaron Donald, mm-hmm. and the other guys didn't capitalize on getting to Carson Wentz. And in the clip that you just played, I said that he got knocked down, I think, once last night, when I got a little better look at, when I watched, all the film and stuff. It was actually three times, which still is a very low number. He didn't get sacked at all.
Yeah.
So he had all day to throw. And just when you look at the throwing lanes that he had and the space between himself and the next closest defender when he was releasing the football, he had clean pockets all day. So it's really just a matter of him in week two missing throws. Just missing throws that are there that he should make, and an average quarterback in the NFL should make. Week one, it was more like you said, the bad decision making, not throwing the ball away. I thought the sack that he took that knocked him out of field goal range was a really bad one. So he's just not playing well at all, and it's hard to kind of get answers when there are so many different things that are going wrong with his game right now.
And that's the thing. He's in his fifth year now. If this was 2016 and he was making some of these decisions, you say to yourself, all right, look, he's a rookie, it's inexperience,
right,
et cetera. He's had an entire offseason where he's been healthy. In years past, it was always rehabbing from the knee. He's rehabbing from the back. It doesn't – the excuses are out the window at this point. We shouldn't be seeing this. And how much of this is just flat out him not getting the job done? Is it maybe a stale approach offensively? Where does the fault lie here?
Yeah, it's a good question. I thought their game plan was, I guess it's fine. The Rams were taking away the deep ball, so if people were a little upset or confused why they didn't take deep shots, given the all the resources they put into finding more speed on the outside, getting DeSean Jackson back, drafting a guy like Jalen Reagor in the first round, you'd expect them to take more shots than they did. They were really playing their safeties deep, and they're just making them beat them underneath, and they just weren't able to do it because he was inaccurate. So, I think that week one, for sure, the game plan wasn't great. They didn't do enough to help the offensive line be successful when they were clearly going to be overmatched against Washington's defensive line. They didn't get Carson on the move at all. They didn't try to get him out of the pocket. They didn't try to move the pocket. They didn't do a lot of different things that you can do to help a struggling offensive line. Week two, I think, is really just more, like I said, the excuses kind of going away for Wentz. And it's just been really bad across the board offensively, except for, really that first half against Washington. Since then, they've just been a really bad unit offensively. You look at Football Outsiders and sort of those advanced metrics, DVOA. They're last in the league in offense. They're last in the league overall, 32nd in both categories in the NFL. So, there's really nothing you can take away. The running game looked a little bit better in week two, I guess. But other than that, there's really not much that you can point to in the offense that you can kind of say, well, at least they have that.
Yeah, it's troubling for sure. We're speaking with Jimmy Kemsky, Philly Voice. So, Jim, let's go to the other side of the ball. And, 66 points allowed.
yeah.
You're trying to figure out – why this team has an inability to consistently get to the quarterback with all the money they have tied up in that defensive line, why this team can't create turnovers, which has been an issue for years here. And look, we've seen bad stretches, but that the way they opened that game, and I know Sanders fumbling, you know, set him up with a short field, but that was complete destruction, what McVay did to Schwartz in that defense. How do you explain that one?
Yeah, well, Jim Schwartz came out and admitted that he had a bad game plan into that game. And they changed things up, I guess, a little bit after they were down in a 21 to whatever it was hole at the time. I think it was 21-3. And they changed things up and it got a little bit better. But, yeah, for sure, they came in and McVay kind of owned Schwartz in that game. You look at week one, you can make, again, you got to make some excuses in week one for the defense in that all five of Washington's drives, sort of scoring drives, started in Eagles territory. And then, as you mentioned, Sanders fumbles week two. And again, the sixth scoring drive of the season against them once again begins on their own end. But then thereafter, like, the Rams really had no problem putting together longer scoring drives that Washington was able to do the week before. So, yeah, I mean, the defense is certainly a big concern. Darius Slay's been good. Malik Jackson has been okay. But other than that, they're really just not getting much from anybody. I mean, the defensive line, as you mentioned, you have so many – there's so much resources put into that unit. You know, when you look at money, Fletcher Cox is the highest-paid player on the team, at least in terms of their salary cap number this year. You have Derek Barnett, who they invested a first-round pick in, Jabon Hargrave. Gates signed him to a big deal this offseason. He was not good at all week two. Who am I missing here? Then Brandon Graham is sort of a constant.
And Derek Barnett, who's your 14th overall pick in 2017, who's either hurt or giving you nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they just put so many resources in that defensive line, and that defensive line isn't giving them enough for what the Eagles put into it.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, Jim, is this just, you know, bad start, for whatever, I mean, Doug actually brought up the fact that, just stop right there. Yes, it is a bad start. Now, is it more of just playing poorly right now, but they're certainly capable of figuring this thing out, or maybe they're just not that good? What's your sense right now?
Yeah, I'd lean more toward they're just not that good.
Okay.
But, you know, they can climb out of it. Maybe it starts week three, of course, when you have, you know, a bottom five NFL franchise coming into your building in the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, granted, they spent a first overall pick and a quarterback that looks pretty talented in Joe Burrow. But this is a team that clearly they should beat. I mean, easily. You know, this should be a team that they just easily handle. So we'll see what happens week three. If they go down week three, then I think everyone in the city is really just going to be talking about them being sellers at the trade deadline and everything, you know, because you have week four, five, and six, you're in San Francisco, you're in Pittsburgh, and then you have, you know,
Baltimore.
Some people think it's the best team in the NFL in the Baltimore Ravens. Some people would disagree, say it's the Chiefs. Regardless, you know, certainly one of the best teams in the NFL. So you have, like, the schedule gets really hard after this week three game. It's a must win. If they lose, then people are just going to totally check out on the season. And if they win, you know, they're supposed to win. But, yeah, I'm kind of leaning toward that core that they had from that the remaining core that they had from that Super Bowl season just doesn't look like it's worth building around at this point anymore. And then you look forward, the 2021 salary cap situation that they're in, where they're going to have to shed a lot of contracts and they're not, at a minimum, they're not going to really be able to add much to this core. So there's a pretty good argument that if this season kind of goes sideways, it's probably time to blow it up.
Yeah, it's troubling, man, because eventually you're going to pay the piper for missing in the draft. And there's been years and years, with a couple of exceptions, you know, the Sanders, et cetera. But there have been far too many misses here. And eventually that's going to catch you. And it feels like it's almost coming to roost at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it starts there for sure. You look at, you know, their drafts from 2017 on. 2017 looks particularly brutal right now. But, you know, you look at those drafts and they don't have enough young players that are contributing positively to the outcomes of games right now. You have Miles Sanders, you have Dallas Goedert. Beyond that, like, there isn't much. Mm-hmm. So it's crucial that you hit on these draft picks because they're also cheap talent for the first 4 years of their career. At, you know, which point you can extend them or whatever, and they get paid. But, yeah, for if you don't hit on these draft picks, and then on top of it, you have to give your quarterback, you know, in Carson Wentz's case, $32-33 million a year, then it becomes a little bit more difficult to build around him and field a team that can compete year in and year out. And when you miss on the draft picks, then you really don't have a chance. So, I mean, they really got to – I mean, we'll see what this 2020 draft class looks like, but certainly 2017, 2018, 2019 – not good enough.
So, Jim, with all that said, in the short term, tomorrow, do you think they finally get off the schneid here and get a win?
Yeah, I do. I'm 0-2 picking
me
Eagles
too.
To win.
Me too, man. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yep.
So we'll see. It's funny what the line has done in that game. I think it opened at like 6.5.
Yeah.
And it's down to like 4.5,
yeah,
I think, right now.
Yeah, 4.5, depending on where you shop. But, yeah, it's dropped.
So, like when I wrote my picks post, you know, they're favored by 6 still. So, I took the Bengals and the points, you know, gladly, and I'd probably still take them at 4.5. But yeah, I'm going to pick them to win again. But it's—I mean, who knows? That Cincinnati team, by the way. So I don't know if you watched their Thursday night game.
I did, yeah.
Cleveland, mm-hmm. And then you know they really hung tight against I think it was the Chargers.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Like they drove down. Burrow drove them down. Hit AJ Green in the end zone. Was going to be, you know, sort of a. It would have been a game-winning touchdown, except they called offensive pass interference on A.J. Green. Kicker goes out. This is like an easy, like, 31-yarder that would have put it into overtime. So they lose that game. Week two, they put up 30 points on the Browns. So I think it's a team that believes in that quarterback, and they're dangerous enough where – it wouldn't shock me at all if the Eagles lost this game.
He's not afraid. I don't like his offensive line a little bit, but he's not afraid. That's for sure. I mean, this is a game we talked about it earlier, and we just discussed it with, you know, how much resources they have tied up. If this defensive line does not eat tomorrow, if they're not making an impact tomorrow, there's major problems because that Cincinnati line is not good for sure. Jim, appreciate it, man. You can follow Jimmy at Jimmy Kempsky, and of course, check out all of his work, Philly Voice. Jim, thanks as always, man. Always good talking to you.
Thanks, Rob.
All right,
appreciate
you got it.
It.
That is Jimmy Kempsky from Philly Voice.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.